You're listening to a short, free clip from the full episode of this week's members-only bonus episode of the Seventh Row podcast. We release full, free episodes every 2 weeks, and in the weeks in between, such as this one, we release more informal bonus episodes for the members who make everything we do at Seventh Row possible. On this week's bonus episode, myself, Orla Smith, and my co-host Alex Heaney were joined by guest Caitlin Merriman to talk about our many conflicting opinions about Benedict Cumberbatch. We dig into his best performances, his worst, and the surprisingly good 2021 he had with The Courier, The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne, and the multi-Oscar nominated The Power of the Dog. What you're listening to now is a short, free clip from the full episode. To listen to the whole thing, as well as past bonus episodes, become a member at 7th-row.com/join and enjoy a whole host of other perks.
So I guess we'll start with his 20, or no, we're going to start with our history of Benedict Cumberbatch, the love hate. Tell us your history, like, because I feel like certainly for me, it's evolved from like to can't stand to maybe he's okay to maybe I like him, maybe I still hate him. I don't know. But so let's dig into this.
Yes.
So, I mean, Orla, do you want to start because you co-starred in a movie with him or?
Yeah. So it all starts on the set of a little movie called Stuart, A Life Backwards. I was a young lass being an extra in a movie. I was shoved into this warehouse type room and told that I was in a waiting room. And this was my mother, and I was bored. And I did that for a couple hours, and I got very bored. And the thrill of being on a movie set faded away quite quickly. And I was vaguely aware that there were two men in the middle of the room talking, and someone was filming them. But I just wanted to get out. And a couple years later, I was like, I was an extra in a movie. I wonder what that was. So I looked it up. And it turns out those two men were Tom Hardy and Benedict Cumberbatch. And I had been sharing a room with them the whole time. And I mean, they weren't famous then. It was 2007 that the film came out, at least. So they weren't names. And I would have had no reason to know who they were. I didn't even pay attention to what they were doing. But I was in a film with them. I did watch the film. I noted the scene that I was in. I was out of the frame. I was not visible at all in the film. So that was fun. It's not particularly good. And Alex, you watched it recently. And
scarred for life.
Yeah, because there is a scene, and I don't remember the specifics, but I very vividly remember that Tom Hardy makes a disgusting sandwich in the film. Maybe you can fill us in a little bit better here, Alex.
Yeah, you have to see him making this. You see him putting bacon into boiling water, I think. Maybe it's not boiling water, so maybe it's just a pan, and you can hear, you can just hear it sizzling it.
I think
so
he's deep frying. Okay, he's deep frying it's like you would boil something with water, but it's oil. It's
okay,
all oil.
Okay. So I mean, he's making something that's already really fatty, grosser, and then he puts ketchup on it. And then he hands this to... Oh, I'm just, trying not to gag.
He puts a lot of ketchup on it.
Just thinking about it. And
you have to see it.
Don't see it, though. you don't want this image in your mind. And then Benedict Cumberbatch has to eat it. That is the most vivid thing about that film. It's mostly Tom Hardy being, incomprehensible, as he is wont to do. And being look at me, homeless man with a lot of eccentricities and mental health issues. And then Benedict Cumberbatch kind of just reacting to whatever chaos Tom Hardy generates.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch being a homeless man with lots of mental health issues. What do I do?
Write a book.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's my history with Benedict Cumberbatch. But then obviously, as the years went on, I became aware of who this guy was. Sherlock became a thing. When was Sherlock? When did that premiere? 2010.
Yeah.
So I never watched Sherlock, actually. Like, I've seen bits and pieces. And I think probably, I mean, I definitely seen him in things before, but probably the first, like, thing that I saw him in that I really sort of, like, took note of was The Imitation Game. Mm. Where, because, I mean, he was the lead. It was kind of a big deal. And I remember liking him a lot in that. Like, I mean, at the time, I don't know how I'd feel if I watched it now. That was 2014. It was a while ago. I think I might have seen him in Starter for 10 at that point already. And I think I'd seen him in things like 12 Years a Slave and...
Atonement, maybe?
I hadn't seen Atonement at that point. I'd only watched it recently. I guess I'd seen War Horse. But these are all things that you don't super take notice of Benedict Cumberbatch in. Mm-hmm. And then The Imitation Game was sort of like my introduction to him as like a leading man. But I was always already aware that people like saw him as like a heartthrob. And... this is something I'm sure we'll talk about. It's like the weird idea that Benedict Cumberbatch became this heartthrob when he's like a weird looking man. Like, he's like extremely weird really looking. Like, you know, like I'm not personally attracted to him. Okay, fair on you if you are. But like the idea that he became this like universal heartthrob for like playing Sherlock Holmes, I don't know. It's really strange to me.
They do style him well in Sherlock. I think that's possibly his. The most handsome he's been.
I remember liking him in The Imitation Game, but then I remember kind of just like him wearing on me pretty quickly as I realized that, oh, he seems to be kind of playing these sort of similar plot parts, and I became more and more annoyed at like just how big he was and like this weird reputation that he had for being like this amazing actor when I felt personally I hadn't seen enough proof of his range to buy into that. As like a person, he, I guess, sort of like annoyed me a little bit. Just, I mean, he's overwhelmingly posh and could be a little hard to get over that. And then him being in a Marvel movies too just seemed like the most uninteresting career path for someone like that. And I did see Doctor Strange and I wasn't super enthused at all by it or by him. So I kind of became a bit disillusioned. And as we'll talk about, this last year has been interesting for him, where I feel like I'm now at a place where I'm like, I appreciate that he is a good actor and can be really good when used right. I'm not sure if he's always making the best decisions for himself, but sometimes he makes an interesting decision and sometimes he is interesting in a role. But I'm not sure if he'll ever be someone I'm super enthusiastic about.
Yeah.
But I find his trajectory kind of interesting to talk about, which is, I guess, why we're here. And the way he's using Power of the Dog is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think these three films are kind of an interesting case study of his career alongside his other appearance of the year in Spider-Man.
So I think the first time I really noticed Benedict Cumberbatch was Sherlock, because I was obsessed with Sherlock. I thought it was really good. It was like 2010 or 2011 or something. My obsessions were basically the Avengers movies, Sherlock, Doctor Who, and Harry Potter, and I was on Tumblr a lot, so I feel like that was, you know, it was inevitable. But I actually, because I was looking at his IMDb page before, and he was in so many things that I was obsessed with as a teen, British shows like Silent Witness and Spooks and stuff like that. I have no memory of him in those, so it was obviously pretty small roles, but yeah, so Sherlock was kind of the beginning of me kind of thinking, oh wow, this guy's really good, and then it wore off really fast. I think partly because Sherlock itself got quite bad quite quickly.
And the fandom was overwhelming.
The fandom. But I think the other thing that turned me off him was actually just the sheer amount of press attention he got during Sherlock meant that he had lots of opportunities to say really boneheaded things.
Yeah.
Made it to me, and he was like really rude about Lucy Liu one time or something. Ugh. And like, yeah, said really gross misogynistic things about a character in Sherlock, and I was just like, you know what, this guy seems like an asshole. And that was about the time when the many names of Benedict Cumberbatch meme started happening, and I really enjoyed it. And so basically for a while, hating Benedict Cumberbatch became a significant part of my personality.
Hear, hear.
But yeah, and then I think seeing him in things like, yeah, Imitation Game, or him being Khan in Star Trek, which I completely forgot about until like 20 minutes ago, it continued to make me just like, ugh. But then there are some performances of his that really come through as being like actually really good, even like quite small ones. Like I remember thinking he was really good in Amazing Grace.
Yes, he's so good in that. It's like, it's actually annoying how good he is in it, because you're like, okay, I guess I have to admit that he has some talent.
That is absolutely it. Whenever Benedict Cumberbatch is good, I'm annoyed about it.
Yeah.
He really does just, like, it's a tiny role, but he really does jump off the screen in it.
And I remember him being perfectly good. I can't remember disliking anything about him in Tinker Tailor or Atonement. And I feel like that's, in a movie like Tinker Tailor, I feel like it's a movie full of white British dudes. And so being able to be, like, to act in that and like not be kind of notable for any reason is probably a good sign, because it's like, actually, that I remember reading that book and getting about 90% of the way through it and being like, I still don't remember who anybody is, and then in the last 20% being like, oh I get it, okay, this is amazing. And the film managed to do that as well, and I think the fact that the actors kind of all managed to like meld into each other was actually a decent part of why I really enjoyed that movie. Imitation Game, I disliked parts of his performance, probably for the same reason Alex did, just in the sense of you could see him acting an autistic guy the whole time, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't actually think I made it to the end of his Hamlet, because I couldn't.
I actually slept through about 15-20 minutes of it, full disclosure, but I did see the majority of it. It was more than enough to know it was terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, I watched the three films that we're talking about over the last couple of months, and actually The Courier and The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne in the same 24-hour period, which was an interesting experience. And I was really impressed with him in at least two of them. Actually, I think I was impressed with him in Louis Wayne as well. But I think partly, I'm not sure how objective I can be about Louis Wayne, because like that was an emotional roller coaster for me, and I really connected with it. So I don't know even if I can like think objectively about the actual acting performance in it. But yeah, I thought he was incredible in both Power of the Dog and Courier, but I think The Courier was probably one of the best films I've seen recently. And he was incredible in it. Like, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I have moments where I'm like, yeah, it feels like a begrudging, okay, well, you're good, fine. you can act, I guess. You know, like, I do not want to like this person because he's so posh and he can be such a dick.
And he cannot hide his poshness in a role. That's one thing that he's incapable of doing in a performance. So the best films are where they use it.
That was the end of this excerpt from our bonus episode on Benedict Cumberbatch. The full members only episode goes on for over 15 more minutes. In it, we dig into why Cumberbatch's performances in The Power of the Dog, The Courier, and The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne are so interesting, and unravel why, despite giving some great performances, we're not sure if we can ever get on board with him as a star. To listen to the full episode, become a member at 7th-row.com/join. You'll get to listen to our entire podcast archive, gain a host of other perks, and support our work while you do it.